Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show on this last Friday of October 2016. My guest across the way, I got to tell you, folks, I am so pleased that he has acceded to return to the show after the way I treated him last time. I thought that he was going to be very angry with me and never come back since I set the trap and he fell into it.
I was going to say, apparently I get mistreated so often that I don't remember which one this one was. Yeah, you did set me up on that one right as we go off the air.
But, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the football playoffs, and we're going to probably start here talking about
the
Mules.
One of those times when you're happiest to be wrong.
We were both wrong. We both had them going 7-2, as I recall. And the Mules exceeded our expectations and our hopes, actually. I'd hoped for 7-2, and I expected 7-2, but they getting to 8-1, that was a nice year.
We don't have too many of those around here.
When was the last time they went 8-1?
Well, 2013.
Did they go 8-1 the year they won the year that they won the road game? Were they 7? They were 7-2 that year, weren't they?
Yeah, because they finished 8-3.
Okay, so they were 8-1 in 2013 when Staunton was here.
Right.
And
that's the year we lost to El Dorado, but then beat Chester in week 9.
Right.
And we thought we were going to have a three-way tie, and then El Dorado lost that Saturday to Vienna.
That's right. So, yeah, us and Chester were champs,
right? Co-champs.
Co-champs. Before that, you'd have to go probably to when Coach Townsend and the boys were playing, don't you?
Yeah, the 94 and 95 seasons.
Wow.
94, they lost to Newton week 9. They started 8-0.
Yeah.
Lost to Newton week 9.
That was Skip Walters' team, quarterback.
And then 95 was, they lost to, I think, Mount Carmel week. It was early in the season, but that was their only loss.
Well, we usually used to play Mount Carmel week 2.
Yes, I knew it was early, yeah.
So if they hadn't changed the NEC around by then, it would have been about week 2. So, yeah, that was, so looking at the last 20, 25 years, this is the fourth time at 8-1, and something to be pretty proud of.
I want to say the only other 8-win season would have been 57. They went 8-0 back. That was Gary Curry in that group.
Yeah, the Jerry Joslin.
Yeah, he was a sophomore on that team.
Right. Gary Curry would have been later, wouldn't he?
Gary was 57. Jerry was younger than that. Jerry was 59, I believe.
Okay. Bill Rogers was on that team. Big Bill.
Gerald Renfro.
David Potts.
David, I think, was on that team.
We could probably sit here and name several of those folks.
Bob Donahoe.
Had one or two good teams in the 1960s, I remember, like 65 or something, when DeMont was running back. But yeah, around here, few and far between. And I think, don't you think Coach Townsend's got that kind of switched around 17 years into coaching? He's kind of got to go in the right direction, doesn't he?
That's what, for a staff that everyone criticized for being too young, that wasn't that long ago.
And no.
Now we're, you know, the elder statesmen of the BDC now,
right?
Basically. You know, Simon's the only one that's been around longer. Rude keeps floating in and out, but down there.
Does that count? How long was Rude? I mean, he's been all over the place. He's been at Christopher.
Johnson City for years. He's Christopher. Yeah, but Christopher before Johnson City.
Yeah. And then went to JC, and then at Vienna, and
then more
back to Vienna. So it's been a lot of fun. Actually, you have covered both the NEC Conference and the Black Diamond Conference. What are your thoughts? The Black Diamond Conference, the level of talent, probably not as high as the old NEC was,
but then you also have to look at maybe the enrollment numbers compared to what they used to. All those NEC schools have dropped.
More competitive, you think, in the BDC than it was in the NEC? I mean, you don't have a dominant.
The bottom half is definitely a lot weaker. I mean, that's
in the BDC.
In the BDC, yeah.
Yeah. But there's no Mount Carmel, is there?
Thankfully.
Thank heavens you were about to say. But that's the thing. You know, the Mules have a little run here. They're going to be facing those same aces, won't they?
It could be on the horizon.
It's certainly a chance. All right, folks, I've got Brian Wheeze Turner here. And
15 minutes in, we finally intro.
Yeah, I did introduce you, didn't I? Sorry about that. So we're going to talk about, tell me a little bit about, before we get into the brackets and stuff, tell me what you know about the Anna Jonesboro Wildcats.
AJ, of course, I come out of that Southern Illinois River to River. They're on the Mississippi Division, went 7-2
It's Datering, right?
Brett Datering, yep. He's been there a long time.
You say Datering or Dietering?
I've always said Dietering, but
I think it's Datering.
It might be.
Depends on depends what area of the state.
Depends on how many you've had.
That's true, too. How many Daterings? There's several Daterings.
But 7-2 in the Southern Illinois River this year, which that conference has been a traditional powerhouse. People down there say it is a little down this year, but it's still a pretty solid conference overall. Their losses were at Carterville, former BDC team, and then at DeCoin, who is years and years of power. Of course, last year, AJ was 4-5, didn't make the playoffs for the first time in like 15 years, snapped a streak last year. So they had their sights set on getting back this year.
Who'd they play non-conference? Did they pick up some teams from the other half of the River to River?
Pretty much all River to River teams. Started off the year 4-0, beat West Frankfort. One at Murfreesboro, which Murfreesboro was a load last year. They were down this year and missed the playoffs. But
And West Frankfort's still down, right?
West Frankfort still finished 6-3, though.
So, oh, okay.
I mean, they made playoffs. At Massac County, they beat 34-7.
How's Johnny doing?
Sorry,
that?
Johnny.
Did Johnny get any wins this year?
He got one this year.
Okay, good.
Which he's back at Massac.
Yeah, John Warren we're talking about, folks. The former Mules quarterback is coaching at Massac County.
And then, which actually... was Johnny quarterback in 95? I think he was.
So, he would the year after Kip?
Yeah.
He might have been a young quarterback on that team.
I know he had a couple punt returns that year against Flora.
That's how you remember, isn't it?
Yep.
See, that's the thing. I got to see Fairfield play just once that year because I was calling games for Carmine. So I vaguely remember that year for Fairfield.
Was that Johnny or was that Adam? At QB.
Adam.
I think it was Adam, and then Johnny was behind him a year.
I think
maybe.
You're right.
I think that's right. I think Johnny was the backup quarterback that year.
Okay.
And then the punt returner.
Oh, okay.
But still, he's played on a couple of 8-1 Fairfield teams as well.
And played college football.
Yeah.
So they beat Massac.
And then moved to 4-0. They beat Nashville, which is a big rivalry game for them. Beat them 26-20. And then
Nashville made the playoffs too, right?
Nashville went 5-4.
Okay. Well, did they make the playoffs? Or the first ones out. I don't think they made it. Did they?
See, with the points with the River to River this year were. Let's see, they would be.
You had to have 37 playoff points.
I want to say they were one of the first ones out.
Because Oblong was the last one in at 37, and I think Nashville ended up with like 36.
Nashville missed, but they were still had a winning record.
Yeah.
And then the first loss, like I said, is at Carterville, week 5. Carterville, I want to say, started the new quarterback that game, ran for like 238 yards against him or something like that. I think caught him a little bit off guard. And then Carterville, I think, got rolling after that.
Carterville ended up with a good season.
They finished 5-4 as well.
But they ended up rolling toward the end of the year. Yeah. They're going to be a tough 5-4 team.
Which they were, when they were in the BDC, they were pretty much the class of the BDC before they left.
Yeah.
Rebounding, Pinckneyville was down this year, beat them 50-7. And then that set up the big match at DeCoin. Lost 14-13, led 7-0. DeCoin scored twice, took the lead. They came back.
They scored late, right?
They scored with 9 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And went for two, went for the win, down 14-13.
Was that at DeCoin?
At DeCoin. That was actually Nick Hill night. They retired his jersey that night, which AJ coached there at DeCoin now, his little brother. And, went for two with 9 seconds to go, got it, called back on a hold.
Oh, no.
And talked to Coach Townsend this week. He said, I've watched that play about 10 times. I still haven't seen a hold.
No kidding.
Yeah. So they're a little upset over that one.
I'll bet.
And after the holding penalty, they tried to kick a 29-year-old point after kick and missed. Plenty of distance went left.
Oh, that's too bad.
So they lost at a coin by a point, or they could very easily be 8-1.
We might be heading down there.
Yeah, with the way the 3A South bracket broke this year.
That's the tricky part. That 3A South bracket. What'd you say? It's got eight different 8-1 teams.
There were seven that were all tied at 8-1 with the exact same number of playoff points.
How do they determine who's going to go where?
So I never did hear if they went with a random computer draw or if they kind of went by geography. If you look at it, it looks like they went a little bit like geography, and that's why we wound up with one of the South teams.
Huh. Well,
if it was a random computer draw, it was extremely convenient.
Yeah, no kidding. We were talking about Carterville. They are playing tonight. as a matter of fact, and they're playing Belleville Althoff, so they may not have a very long run.
Yeah, Althoff's legit.
Althoff is a very good school. I'm talking here with Brian Turner. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Anna Jonesboro Wildcats facing the Mules tomorrow, and then we're also going to pick the rest of the brackets, and that's always a lot of fun. What are we putting on it? Do we get steaks on it this year or what?
So we can always go ribeyes at Brew.
That'd be fine. That'd be all right. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My guest across the way is Mr. Brian Turner from the Wayne County Press. Wheez, as everyone lovingly calls him. I think folks lovingly call you Wheez.
We must have a different definition of lovingly.
As he's known. Let's put it that way instead of lovingly known. How about that? Brian's here. We're talking playoff football, and it's the best time of the year. That's a given, I think. Tell me a little bit about the Anna Jonesboro team themselves. What do they run? They throw? What do they do?
They're run heavy, very similar to us there, where they, I think, average 5 or 6 passes a game. You know, throw when they have to, which should be familiar to Mules fans.
Yeah, no kidding.
Big physical team, which, like I put in the preview story last night, when you hear big and physical in the BDC, you automatically think of El Dorado.
Right.
So that was one of the things I asked Coach Townsend, is how do they stack up with, you know, in that regards with El Dorado? He said very, very similar. They just run a different style of offense.
Really?
They run a option attack, where El Dorado runs more of that full house, the wing T. But they run the option and have 2 fullbacks that rotate in and out, that both have pretty much evenly split carries, and then a quarterback's probably the third leading rusher on the team.
So what they're running the option with the fullback, is the fullback taking the pitch most of the time, or is the fullback's diving?
They run the midline, the triple option, and the veer option. So they run several different styles.
So you kind of be ready for all three of
them. Similar to the double wing, where if a team takes away one thing, you just move on to the next thing.
Right.
That's what Coach Townsend's talked before about having that checklist. They take away this, we move to this. They take away that, we move to this. And, you know, it's a systematic approach to an offense.
And they've got good hard runners, those fullbacks. They've got some nice yardage, don't they?
Well, they've got some excellent names in the backfield.
Yeah.
They got 2 fullbacks that I said rotate in and out. One's a junior, one's a senior. Both name, and not related, both names are Turner.
Oh, really?
Jace Turner, Trenton Turner.
Are they related to you?
Neither one of them related to me, as far as I know.
Are they related
to each
other?
If one of them runs for 200, I may claim that.
Are they related to each other? They're not related
to each other. Not related to each other either.
No kidding.
Yeah. Which you don't see that too often in small towns.
No.
But
probably one
big voice.
Probably one of them from Anna, one from Jonesboro.
Sure, we can go with that. We don't have to have facts here.
That's exactly right. One of them's in.
But they are big boys. Jace, the junior, is 5'11", 200. I think he leads the team in carries. And then Trenton is 5'9", 210.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I guess, and they're...
That's a bowling ball.
I mean, that's... Well, we've played Trey Vessel, yeah. Who I've literally compared to a bowling ball several times.
Yeah, he runs like that.
Quarterback is a junior lefty.
Oh, really?
First-year starter, which they missed playoffs last year, but they had 7 starters back on each side of the ball this year, including 4 offensive linemen. They are big up front.
No kidding.
But the QB lefty's more dangerous running than he is throwing, but Townsend said from what he's seen, he has improved throwing the ball as the year has
gone
along.
What's his name?
It's Bryce Osmond.
Bryce Osmond. He's related to Bob?
Different spelling. So
oh, okay.
He's about 105, about 6 foot.
So he's not related to Donnie or those Osmonds either.
Unless you go back years and years, they're all related. But
kind of defense they what are the Mules expecting when Fairfield's on offense?
Go back to the offensive line first. Like are huge up front. Which they had 4 starters back: Aaron Lentz, 6'2", 240, senior; Chris Potter, 5'10", 260, senior;
good grief.
Shad Turner, another Turner. That one I don't know if he's related. I know the fullbacks aren't, but 5'11", 215. He's the small guy. And then Austin Dillo, 6'2", senior. I mean, they're big up front and experienced.
I must tell you that does not always guarantee success. Having been on a team that averaged 240 across the front line, occasionally those guys are big and slow.
But when you're big and you're 7-2, how slow are you?
You got a point.
And a lot of those guys go both. You talk about some defense. A lot of those guys up front go both ways. So
okay,
they'll be pretty thick up front on defense too.
So will the Mules try to get them gassed or something like that? I wonder.
Well, I'm going to say it'd be more scheming. I mean, it's not trying to give away too much. I know they've got some different stuff in mind, which you know when you get in the playoffs, you're not going to be able to just stick with your bread and butter. You
right.
may have to
right.
may have to adjust from that.
Right. All right. I think I'm reading between the lines right there. coming in at 7-2, Fairfield at 8-1. It's gonna be a wonderful atmosphere tomorrow, isn't it?
Should be. I mean, it's gonna be perfect weather. We don't get a whole lot of home playoff games here, so which would be third one since I've been here, and I've been here 12 years.
Wow,
I'm getting old.
Yeah, you are.
It's showing in the beard.
All right, now yes, it is showing. you need to do something about that.
Beard is gonna be gone as soon as the playoff game is over tomorrow.
Is that a playoff beard?
Not really. I've had it for years now.
Yeah,
so
say if they win, you'd still want to keep it, wouldn't
well,
you?
Well, either way, it's not part of the Halloween costume.
Uh-oh. You're not telling what the Halloween costume is.
I got no problem. In fact, I'm going to have to explain it 1,000 times Saturday night anyway.
What's the Halloween costume? I'll tell you what mine is, too, if you're interested in for the thing.
You go first.
Well, I am one half of Public Enemy.
Nice.
I'm Chuck D.
I was going to say, you got to be Chuck D.
I'm Chuck D. I'm Chuck D. Doty is Flava Flav.
Shut him down.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm Chuck D. And Doty is Flava Flav. She's got the big clock and all the business. She's got a grill. She can't wait to...
grill?
Yeah. She's looking
forward
to
that. I'm looking forward to.
She's looking forward to that. It's going to be
and
fun.
And you don't mean the type you cook meat on.
No, I don't. I know. What are you going to be?
Mine's going to be a little more current event.
Oh, really?
With the twist. Ken Bone.
Oh, no kidding.
But I'm going to wear a Tupac-style bandana. Be Ken Bone Thugs in Harmony.
You'll keep the mustache.
I'm keeping the mustache. Which
oh,
this
that's
is
perfect.
I'm fully aware this is going to look awful. What's sad is, and I say sad, but I mean the guy's an internet sensation. I do look a little like Ken
you
Bone.
You do look
a
little bit like so Ken Bone.
I'm going to be able to pull this off.
I hadn't put that together.
Of course,
yet.
I think the funniest / meanest, but he got a laugh out of it too. The tweet I saw at him is when they found out he was just 34 because they were joking about him running for president.
Oh
he goes,
yeah,
I can't. I'm only 34. And the first tweet he got was, "Dude, go for a walk every now and again." Yeah, see, Ken Bone Thugs in Harmony.
So you're gonna what is that? Jump around? Is that their big song? What's the big song?
I want to come over there and smack you.
I'm trying to think the song. It's the oh gosh, come on, it's the that's Bloodhound.
First
Gang.
Of the month. Jump Around was House of Pain.
House of Pain. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What's the big song for
first of the month? Was their breakout hit?
All right.
Thuggish Ruggish Bone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you will need it.
I'm gonna have to do some rapping.
Are you gonna have your own theme music with you?
I need to be rapping some political themes is what I need to figure out by then. Think I'll have time Saturday?
No, good luck with that. Good luck with that. I'm talking with Brian Turner. He's Wheeze from the Wayne County Press. You did a lot of work last night. No column? I kind of figured you'd have a column in there last night. I was looking for the Wheeze thoughts.
Well, I did the preview story. Was the big chunk of my work the last couple of days.
There's
a lot of research that goes into stuff like that gets lost.
We're going to have to do picks at some point. And do you think does the team, none of the kids played against Staunton 3 years ago?
They would have been freshmen.
Do you think they...
I don't remember any of these seniors that would have been dressing then.
I don't think we had any freshmen dressing. Do you think that the kids have that in mind, though, the importance of a home playoff game? Or maybe do the kids who played on the 13 team ever come back and say, hey, look, this is a big deal?
I mean, I'm sure I know several of those kids would have been at that game, but watching from the stands.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're gonna know what that atmosphere is like.
I guess my question, the reason I asked the question, we're not going to get shut out again like Staunton shut us out at 5-4, right?
Yeah, but we shut out Staunton too, so.
Well, that's true. Well, other than on the scoreboard.
I say, and then we're coming off an 8-0 game, so we know what that's like too.
Well, that's true too. That was an 8-0 game that was tense throughout that Johnston City game.
I don't know if you could dominate a game more and only win 8-0 either, though. I mean, 32 minutes time of possession, doubled them up in yards, and they just couldn't score.
Couldn't score, didn't have any, that's the thing, didn't have turnovers either, and still couldn't score. Oh, well, that's the thing. The Mules have had two, I think, really almost perfect performances this year when you look at the Chester game and the Carmi games. I think both of those could be considered maybe their best performances in years.
The Johnson City game was also a perfect primer
Johnson
for a playoff
City was,
game.
Johnson City was, yeah. That
may
was
not a, have been perfect, but it was a perfect primer.
Gets you kind of acclimated to the level of talent that you might be seeing.
The talent and the tension.
Yeah, there was a lot of tension that whole game. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
Primer, talent, tension, alliteration.
There you are. There you are. Do you want to make some picks, or what do you want? Where do you want to start?
We can start wherever you want. I've got one. I didn't look at any of the big schools. I didn't look at North, but.
Well, I tell you what, let's do.
There aren't a whole lot of South teams in 1A, so.
No, we'll tell you what we'll do.
Just ship Tuscola to the championship. And we'll go come,
when, we're going to take a break a little early here, and when we come back, we'll talk about the 2A and then the 4A, and then we'll finish up with the 3A. How's that sound?
Works for me. Wing it.
You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show, folks, on WFIW AM and FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. It's Bruce Dickey here, Brian Turner over there, and we'll be back after these.
Lay down one night, speaking softly about that old man. You got that Django, hips that boogie, sunglasses and I fall. About that time he looked over at me, jumping rhythm. I feel it in my bones, jazz begin to shake, body starts to move. You got that strong groove, got that night boogie, got that dirty white, got a giddy go. Got that dirty water, gotta get it going, yeah! Keep playing, body touching.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My name is Bruce Dickey, joined across the way by Brian Wheeze Turner, and we've been talking playoffs. So we'll tell you what, it's time to make some picks, and we're going to run the brackets out from the 2A and then the 4A, and then we're going to get the class 3A. Now
we've spent 40 minutes trying to sound smart to come across really dumb
stupid.
For the last 20.
And you know the bad deal is I'm recording this. So I mean so folks can go back and
for
check
for posterity purposes only.
No, actually for folks to go back and check and see how stupid we sound.
That just makes sense.
I must tell you. that whenever somebody asks me to pick like something or a game, I do warn them in advance. I'm the worst prognosticator of all time when it comes to picking football games and baseball games. I use the heart too much.
I've got accounts on Five Dimes and Sportsbook that would attest to that as well.
You're not good at it. See, that's why I don't bet. I realized early on that I can't do that. Class 2A. I like how they've done this year. They went all eight classes. They went only 16 teams.
16, no quads.
No quads this year. Are you for that? Are you against that? What do you think?
I don't mind the travel in the playoffs. I mean, I understand trying to avoid it in regular season, but I don't mind driving a little bit in the playoffs.
And it's a Saturday game.
It makes it a little more unique for the kids, too.
Well, that's
which,
true.
When you had quads, it was always BDC versus BDC and BDC versus BDC. I mean, with the way the South is set up.
River to
the
river
classes,
versus river to river.
When you do the quads, it was a lot of you had a lot more conference opponents in the playoffs.
Do you know much about Rushville and Downs?
Just take downs
because they're 9-0. Then there was who's the last number one seed? Hadn't there been a number one seed beaten in the last maybe just in the quads?
I've drank
in the
since
last
then.
Few years. Yeah, that's me too. Redbud is at DuQuoin. DuQuoin gets the home game at 7-2 against Redbud. DuQuoin, they end up winning the championship, didn't they? The river to river
in that division. Yeah. That 2-point conversion wound up deciding the division.
Wow. You taking DuQuoin at home?
I'm taking DuQuoin at home. I think that's going to be a high scoring game though. That could be a 40-30 kind of game.
All right, I'm going to take Redbud.
Taking Redbud.
Redbud upset. Flora at El Dorado. Flora's the 13. El Dorado's the 4. I've got to go Black Diamond at home. What are you going to go with? Alma mater, man.
Do I root for my conference or my alma mater here?
Yeah, if it's me, I root. You got to root for your alma mater.
And their coach was one of my best friends growing up, so I kind of feel obligated to.
You kind of have to root.
I'll be rooting for Florida. I'd probably pick El Dorado, though. Right, sorry, well, Tackett.
the winner
and
of that?
That's goes back to BDC hadn't won a playoff game against a non-BDC team since the Mules.
2009.
When they beat Breeze.
Right. That was 2009. As Johnston City and the winner of Johnston City, Moroa Forsyth, is going to take on the winner of that Florida El Dorado game. JC 6-3 going in. Moroa Forsyth 8-1. That's a... But I understand Moreau Forsyth's not that good an 8-1 team this year.
It's still not going to be one the BDC gets. Moreau is going to probably roll that game.
Yeah, that's a tough draw. On the other bottom half, it's Carthage versus Mendon Unity, not
Tolono
Unity. It's Mendon Unity. Mendon Unity's 9-0. Illini West Carthage has won state championships at both 2A and 1A, but. They're just a little weaker this year.
I think they're down this year. Take Unity in that one.
Shelbyville at Carmine. Well, we'll come back to Shelbyville at Carmine. How about St. Thomas More, 6-3 at Hamilton?
I'd take St. Thomas More in that one, actually. Or no, sorry, I'm taking Hamilton in that
one. Hamilton. I was going to say St. Thomas More. They play a little higher competition probably than Hamilton, but Hamilton plays pretty good. And Hamilton's tough, 9-0. Sangamon Valley.
That's one of the exceptions to the rule of always take the team with the saint in it.
Oh really?
I mean, generally, if you're not real familiar with the teams, take the Catholic school.
Yeah,
take the Northern school.
That makes sense.
But take West Hancock in that one.
Sangamon Valley at 6-3 at Bismarck Henning at 7-2. I always take Bismarck.
I'm taking Bismarck.
Yeah.
I remember Carmine gave them a game a few years ago.
It's tough to sink the Bismarck. You like that one, dude?
Yep. Set it up on a tee. That's called setting yourself up.
I appreciate that. I'm glad you noticed what I just did there. All right, Shelbyville at Carmine. This is a toughie. Shelbyville at 6-3, Carmine at 7-2, and Carmine just lost last week. It makes you wonder which Bulldog team's going to come in, right, Weez? I mean, I don't know.
I'm taking Shelbyville on that one. Big thing is Carmine lost one of their best linemen when they played us, broke his ankle in that game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I think Jake Simon's been running for his life a little bit since then.
Well,
yeah, I'm picking Shelbyville on that one.
You take Shelbyville on the road. I'm going to take Carmine.
I've got the BDC going 1-2 in that bracket.
Yeah, I've got the BDC going. What'd I say? I've got them going 1-2 also, right? Because I took El Dorado to win. I took Carmine to win, so I'm 2-1. I'm 2-1. Looking out farther, just who do you? Well, we won't do the whole bracket down the road. Who do you see winning the? Who do you see coming out of the bottom half, getting to Champaign out of there?
I think Unity's a pretty tough team.
Mendon Unity. That's who. That's who the winner of the Carmine Shelbyville game would end up facing.
I know they're number 5 in the state, I think. I think West Hancock's number 7 in the state, though. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought Hamilton was pretty tough, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the two teams. I think that game would wind up at Unity because of the seeding.
So this is a tricky one. There were several 9-0 teams in this Class 2A, right? It was like 7 or something, 7 or 8, 9-0 teams.
Kind of like the 8-1 teams in 3A.
Yeah, that's right. Let's move on to 4A. And there are some teams in here that the Mules used to play, and there's also some teams here that are just knockoff, outstanding teams. There's some programs in the 4A.
4A is where you run into those South, Metro East teams.
Yeah, 4A South is very difficult. We'll start out with, speaking of very difficult, Carterville at 5-2. We already mentioned they got to play Belleville Altoff at 9-0.
Carterville's a pretty solid team. That's still going to be a running clock.
Both those teams have the nice field. You'd thought they'd have put to somebody without a nice field on playing at Lindenwood. That's nicer.
That's
tonight, by the way. Yeah,
that is tonight at 7 o'clock. Like I said, I think that's probably a running clock game. Altoff's that good.
All these quadrants are tonight.
Yeah, the top quadrant are all Friday, and the bottom quadrant are all Saturday.
Taylorville at Alton Marquette.
Small upset. I'm taking Taylorville in that one.
Oh, how about that? I'm going to take Alton Marquette. I'm going to use the Wheeze, choose the Catholic school method.
When in doubt.
Alney at Mount Zion, a former conference mate of Alney back in the old Apollo, right?
Before it
exploded. And Mount Zion, I've only heard tough. That's all I've heard this year.
I've heard they've got an excellent athletic trainer. That's the extent of my knowledge.
Who's that?
Dustin Fink, good friend of mine.
Okay, good. Bethalto, former.
I'm obviously taking Mount Zion in that.
Yeah, you're taking Mount Zion. I did too. Civic Memorial, Bethalto Civic Memorial at Rochester. Where did Rick Reinhardt end up? Did he end up back at Bethalto?
After he left Tuscola, I can't remember where he went.
I think he's at Bethalto. I'll check here in a second. But I'm gonna. I mean, it's Rochester at home. You take Rochester, don't you?
Yeah, Rochester's not what Rochester has been, but they've got some room to go down and still be pretty good.
Well, that's the thing. Rochester can be. Yeah,
Collinsville. That's where Rick went.
He's at Collinsville. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, I'm taking Rochester in that one.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Taking a look at the bottom half, then
Columbia, former team that
Columbia, Greenville at Columbia, Greenville at Columbia, Columbia, great place to play. That was a gorgeous field, great setting, and of course Greenville, former team that
both these teams
beat Fairfield in the last 10 years or so. I'm going to take Columbia though.
I'm taking Columbia as well.
West Frankfort.
They're not as good as their volleyball team. They're still pretty good.
Yeah, that's right.
Was Columbia volleyball 35-0?
I think that they are. Did they stay in 2A or did they go to 3A? I'm trying to remember. Are they in Edwards County's bracket? I think they are.
I didn't look that far ahead, but yeah, I know they were 35-0 as of last week. So. Yeah.
West Frankfort at Canton. Take the Northern School?
Take the Northern School. Yeah, Canton 7-2.
Watseka, speaking of 4A, Watseka is a long way. That's an hour north of Champaign. They're coming down to Heron.
That is a long drive.
That is a haul. Heron at 8-1.
I'm going to bet Les and the Southern boys are glad that's not at Watseka.
I suspect that's right. Watseka at 5-4. I'm going to take Heron.
I'm taking Heron in that one.
That's a long drive.
I think they double them up.
How about that? Breeze Modern Day at Breeze Central.
There.
What in the world are they thinking? Throwing Breeze Modern Day against Breeze Central so early in the playoffs.
It's the Ski Bowl.
I guess it is.
I'm taking Modern Day in that one.
You're going to take Modern Day on the road.
On the road.
It's at Central.
Actually, if you think about it, though, I mean, Modern Day, that is technically a home game. So if they win that, then that means they get a road game. I mean, that means they would get the home game the next round.
Well, I guess that's true. I hadn't even thought about that. So they would have
two home games, basically, to start the playoffs.
That's not a bad
as an 11 seed.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to go.
So yeah, they'd get Heron at Modern Day.
Oh, okay. I hadn't even thought about looking down the road.
Assuming Heron beats Watseka.
Who are we going to take out of the South?
I think in Columbia and Altoff in the championship there.
Columbia and Althoff, the winner to go to Champaign.
Yeah, man, I'm taking Althoff.
You're going to take Althoff? Yeah, Althoff's just too strong. Rochester's a little down for Rochester at 8-1. Some of their games have been closer.
And that's probably the game there because that's 2-3 in the state playing each other in that right. in that quarterfinal.
And that would probably most – well, you never know. It depends who they – depends if they get a home game in week two. Most likely, though, that's probably going to be at Althoff, isn't it? I don't know.
It would be.
Have to work it out.
Depend on the upsets. And
yeah. All right, there's the trick.
I've got Taylorville pulling off the upset there, so they'd go to Taylorville second round, which would put the
– Which would put it at Lindenwood. Yeah. 3A. Here we go. Two Black Diamond teams made 3A, and they're both on the south – in the south quadrant, the far south quadrant. Let's look at the number 16 Auburn at 5-4 against – Newton. Newton is just a
Newton's come on.
Newton's a train this year, aren't they? They're just chugging.
I think they have an actual train in their backfield.
Have they really?
Beerman kid, I think he's setting all kinds of records up there.
Oh, no kidding.
For career rushing, single season rushing. They've got a stud running back this year that they've been running.
See, now they've had stud duck. They've always had.
Yeah, they've had pretty good running backs in the past.
They've had good running backs. They've had great receivers. They've had some outstanding receivers. And Newton's on a nice little run. We're both taking Newton.
Yeah, we're taking Newton.
The team that I thought the Mules were going to play, Marshall at Pena. I thought Fairfield would end up playing Marshall. Both these teams at 8-1. What'd you say there? Seven teams at 8-1 in this bottom half of the bracket.
We could have been anywhere from 3-10 in the seedings.
And we ended up at 6, so I guess we're halfway through.
That's what Coach Nice said. It could have been better. It could have been worse.
Marshall at Pena. Both 8-1.
I'm taking Pena in that one.
Since it's at home?
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's probably a one-score game.
And I'll take Pena too. I think I will because they play a little tougher competition top to bottom than Marshall does in the Little Illini Conference.
I mean, Newton's pretty solid in the LIC, but
Marshall's
down. Was number two. Robinson's down. So yeah,
Red Hill made the playoffs,
which kind of speaks to the point about it being down.
Yeah, Wood River at Carlinville.
Yeah, Wood River was the team that everyone in this bracket wanted to draw.
Yeah.
I mean, they snuck in at 6-3, actually didn't sneak in, but they were in an extremely weak
area.
We'll
get to the
there.
Team that snuck in the next set.
True. But going in, like looking ahead 2 or 3 weeks before the regular season ended, everyone was, okay, if we can get Wood River.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Carlinville got that.
This game's tonight. Carlinville is against Wood River. I think we're both taking Carlinville.
Carlinville's got a running back there's some local ties there with R.A.D.'s wife being from Carlinville.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Hillsboro at Williamsville. I kind of thought we might get Hillsboro, too. Hillsboro at 6-3, Williamsville at 8-1.
And I had one of the coaches 2 or 3 weeks ago from Williamsville text me asking if we were going to play each other.
Oh, really? Really? For Williamsville? I guess, like you said, who knows who this 8-1s we're going to play, and depends on the roll of the dice.
He was at North Mac last year, who had a really good year. Then he was to Williamsville this year, so he's had a pretty good 2-year run here.
That is a nice little run.
Offensive line coach.
Are we taking Williamsville?
I'm taking Williamsville over Hillsboro on that one.
I will, too.
Hope Matt Hughes doesn't hear that. But
Cesar Valier at number 2, 9-0, Mount Carmel.
Go Red Devils.
That's all we can say is go Red Devils.
Rooting for them. The whole state's rooting for them.
God bless you, Red Devils. Good luck.
There's one town rooting for Mount Carmel in the state, and it's Mount Carmel.
Oh, now come on. Mount Carmel's not that hated, are they?
Still. Some things never die.
Oh, that's probably true. But I'm taking Mount Carmel. You're taking Mount Carmel, right?
Sorry, did you ask something?
Yeah, no, forget it. Unity, Tolono Unity, an underdog, usually unseen under a number 10 seed, Tolono Unity at 7-2 at Vandalia 8-1. I feel really bad for Vandalia.
Yeah, we said everyone was wanting Wood River. Everyone was hoping to avoid Tolono Unity.
Yeah, I feel
they're a tough 7-2.
That is a very difficult 7-2 team, and they'll play at Vandalia. I'm taking Unity. I'm
taking Unity as well.
Beardstown, number 14 at 5-4 at North Mac. It's Ron Graham's old school, or is he still there in any capacity? I think he's retired.
I don't believe he is.
8-1. They're going to take North Mac. The winner of this game.
Taking North Mac. They were huge up front last year. I think some of those guys are back this year.
Winner of this game takes on the winner of Anna Jonesboro at Fairfield tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Anna Jonesboro at 7-2, Fairfield at 8-1. I think we're both taking the Mules, aren't we?
Obviously.
Yeah. I think it ought to be a good game. I think it'll be an outstanding game.
It should be a quick game.
I was going to say, had I not seen the game last Friday night, I'd have probably told you high scoring, because I thought last Friday night was going to be high scoring too.
I thought one of the interesting things is they've scored 111 points in their last two games.
Anna Jonesboro has. Yeah.
We've given up 100 on the year.
and played some pretty and not too many points against some playoff teams. Yeah.
Which I think I went and looked. We only averaged 17 points against teams with winning records. If you look at the four teams we played with winning records, we averaged 17. But our defense that didn't dip against the good teams.
The defense this year was quite sturdy.
So the offense kind of faltered against the better teams, but the defense didn't.
What do you think about that? We've got to pick we got to pick who's going to get to state. Who's going to get the champagne?
It's going to be Newton or Cesar.
Newton or Cesar after Cesar beats Mount Carmel?
Or it could be the team that's playing Cesar. I couldn't.
You're not going to say him.
No.
I'm going to go Newton. I think they'll catch Mount Carmel at home for the semifinal to get there. This is Newton's year. It's a big year for Newton. I think they've got a good chance. Doggone it, Weeze, I didn't save enough time to talk Illini football. We were going to talk Lovie Smith.
2-and-what or 3-and-what?
You're a cruel, cruel person. Why do you got to be like that?
I still owe you for last time on
here.
Yeah,
you do. Yeah, you do. Thanks for coming on. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Have a great weekend. Go Mules!